Well, in the Santos household, we have, if we're able to do it, or if I am reminded by one of the kids, we have what you call the sweet, sour, and service time. Usually during our evening meals, we kind of just take a time to just ask each other what was sweet or what's your high, as you would hear some households do, or what is your sour, what's your low. What's been encouraging, what's been discouraging. But then also, we'll ask, in what way were you led to serve someone today, whether at school or at home? Or if they can't think of someone they've served, to ask the question, how have you been served? And it's always interesting what comes out, especially our younger ones, when it comes to how they've been served. But it's an opportunity, I believe, just to take a deep breath or come at the end of the day and say, you know what? How have I been served? Or how have I served someone? Well, maybe that's a question to just even ask you all. I know we have kids and we're here this morning and we're in our last identity serve as servants. I want you to think of how you have served someone this past week. Just kind of think about it for a moment. Wherever you found yourself this past week, how have you served? And then maybe think of also how you have been served. Picture that person in your mind. What was that experience? What was that situation? As you bring up that experience, what is that emotion that comes up? As you have served, as you've been served, what's that predominant emotion, right? And just to kind of just take that in. You know, as I was preparing and just writing out an introduction for this morning's message, one of the things that stuck out this past week where I've been served, because a time or two people have asked me, James, what do you need? And it seemed that my consistent reply is, I really just need to be heard and seen where I'm at in terms of my story. And there have been countless times this week where things have been overwhelming and I just needed to be heard. And that was how I was served this past week. And in turn, I was also able to do that with many others, you know, this past week. To be able to serve others by just holding space for their stories. And so as we consider this time and we consider then, again, this identity of being servants, right? There are many ways, and we'll actually unpack from Romans here, of the many ways, various ways in which God calls us to serve. And so if you can stand with me, we're going to read from Romans chapter 12 this morning. I start off with two verses, passing this on to Rita, and then it drew to now verses 1 through 8 of Romans 12, because just don't want to just read God's word to us, but hear it on this Sunday. So Romans 12, it reads this: I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, which is what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is God's holy word. You may be seated. And so there are three marks I just want to just give to us of, I believe, just in what we see here in Scripture of what our callings, our invitations, marks of being a servant and what God has called us. And so the three things just to highlight is the word humility. Humility. Second is curiosity. And then the third is action. So I want to first deal and unpack this reality of humility. If you read once again in verse 3 of Romans 12, it says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of God, a measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, if there's anything that we know about the Church of Rome, it was kind of a combination of Jews and non-Jews or Gentiles. And there was a time in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, where Emperor Claudius drove out all the Jews. And so there was a five-year period where the Jews were banished out from the city of Rome. And then after 5 years came back. And so you can imagine just the, again, the combination mixture of both Jews and non-Jews, and that when the Jews came back, they noticed the Gentile Christians were not worshiping maybe the way they worshiped. And so a big reason or purpose in which Paul wrote the letter to the church at Rome was really to bring unity back in the church. And so as you've studied the book of Romans, it's a pretty dense and really rich book. And so the first 11 chapters, we see Paul excellently and with clarity and precision unpack for us the beauty of the gospel, of God's initiative, of his righteousness, God's righteousness, his just and good character given to us because it is the gospel that gives us salvation. And he unpacks that for 11 chapters. And then he turns here in chapter 12 and says, if you believe in the gospel and are captivated by the gospel of Christ, then it's going to show in your life. This is what you're going to practice. This is what you're going to exhibit as fellow believers, not just Jews and non-Jews, but the body of Christ. And so Romans 12 is a really practical book, and I think it gets at the heart of what really worship is about. And so as we read in verse 1 and 2, we were again drawn in and invited, and where Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, with tenderness. He says, by the mercies of God. And I think the mercies of God is his summary of chapters 1 through 11 of Romans. And he says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or some translation, your spiritual act of service. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so from 5 to the rest of the chapter of chapter 12, we see Paul really outline example after example of how to carry out this life that God has given us. And so we've covered the identities. We start off with being worshipers, right? That God has called us to worship him alone and no other gods. But we're also called as family, that we are brothers and sisters in Jesus. And we're called disciples to learn, to be his apprentice. Last week, we covered what it means to be a witness. And today, we end this sermon on the identity to highlight for us again what being servant-hearted is about. Because as you've heard the line said several times these past couple of weeks, what we do flows from who we are. And as we are living in these day and time, I think being able to reassess and also reevaluate where we're at in terms of our identity is so important. And Paul helps us here that to serve God, to be servant-hearted, we must have this heart of humility, not to think more highly of ourselves, but of sober judgment. That is, of an accurate, sound judgment. You know, I can't help but think of John the Baptist when Jesus came in the scenes, and there was this discussion in chapter 3 of John where a discussion arose between John's disciple and a Jew over purification. And we read in verse 26, and they came to John in John chapter 3 and said to him, "Hey, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." And this is the reply of John in verse 27. John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven." See, we see John's example here of one of sober judgment, of accuracy, of humility, of where his place was in terms of his ministry along with Jesus. And so one of the first marks to receive this morning when considering what a life of servanthood looks like, it has to be marked with humility. It has to be marked with humility because it is humility that keeps us looking to God, which we see again in Romans 12, "For by the grace given to me," even Paul acknowledging it was the grace of God given to him to have this sober judgment. And so encouraging the church of Rome, but also encouraging us, when we think of servanthood, one of the key characteristics is one of humility. And for some reason, as I was like preparing for this, I was thinking of just this idea. Everybody wants to have an Air Force One in their life, or an Air Force One mentality. Not an Air Force One, Air Force Two, or Air Force Three, but we have this mentality, I think, given the competition or even the day and time that we have in this world. Everybody wants an Air Force One. For some reason, maybe I saw one of my kids' jets or someone, you know, in the yard. But everybody wants to have an Air Force One kind of mentality. And we see John the Baptist here saying, nope, it's okay in light of God's kingdom, in light of my position and place in God's kingdom, it's good for me to choose Air Force Two, Air Force Three, because I've been given the grace of God. And so when we consider, you know, being servants, humility is one of the marks. But not only humility, but moving on, we are also called to curiosity because of the body of Christ. So here in verses 4 and 5, we read these words, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Curiosity. You know, when I look and even pause for a moment, because my words are getting ahead of me, and maybe even also some anxiety and just restlessness, I look around us and I say, this is the body of Christ. And maybe even just to invite you, which I did this maybe 2 weeks ago, just to even turn around and look around you, side to side, right? With some of you don't have masks on, but just to make eye contact. Your kids. This is the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. If there is one favorite designation of the church that I am drawn to, it is the body of Christ. You know, I've heard many times from people who have suffered or broken. It's like, I've heard a time or two, yes, I don't see God. It's hard to feel loved, to feel seen, or to feel known, because I don't see God. And one of the things that I find myself saying time after time is, in this space, you are seen by just being in the same presence. I don't know about you, but when you see people just being present with you in body and in physicality, there's something significant. As much as a lot of our businesses in our world has moved to virtual screens, I want you to know there's no substitute to seeing each other face to face and not, you know, saying that Facebook Live is of lesser value, but we choose what we have, right? But there's something about seeing someone face to face and to see the difference from the many age groups and life stages and styles and colors, even as you've looked each other in the eye. We all are different. And so one of the marks of being a servant is not only humility, but aren't you curious to get to know each other? I know many of you who are in Christ Church, but also who are coming from Sojourn are just eager just to share life on life. That's why I think the whole instant church directory is a good on-ramp for you to get to just know names, but also to have faces and to link names with faces, because we need that. And it's been good to just begin to pray through the directory and to, again, see the many children that God's given Sojourn North and to pray for families. And also I've noticed that after it's usually on after service, I've noticed that on the playground, we've begun kind of naturally and organically just people congregating out there and getting to know each other. And so I want to even encourage, because that was not sanctioned or commissioned. It just happened because, I guess, for our kids, right, we need to keep them occupied. But that's a great even space to just get to know the different parts of the body. And so if there's any way that we can serve even this time right now, is would you begin just to get to know each other by name? Just to know names and to, and also maybe a time or two, what would it look like just to hear people's stories? Hear people's stories. And just listen to learn and just to love them where they're at. Because one of the marks of being a servant, I think, is not only humility, but curiosity, because as Paul is inviting us here, for as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. This is the same list that you see in Ephesians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 12. And I think one of the most easiest way that we can serve the body today is by being curious. And so how would the Lord lead you this week to be curious of a member maybe at Christ Church who was in Christ Church or Sojourn, but again, coming collectively as Sojourn North to say, I want to get to know you. I want to pursue that person or I want to pursue that family. And so humility, curiosity, but I want to end with this. We are called to action. If we read again, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We see here not an exhaustive list that Paul gives us, but a list, an example of what particular people in the body can do. And so he begins with those who prophesy. He says, do that in proportion to our faith, which gets into more of one who reveals or shares the truth of God. If service, that's where we get our word deacon, our way of just tangibly serving people, because there are people in Sojourn North, that is their thing. That's what they naturally do, is serve. If it's teaching, there are folks that I've known here who have shared to me, I want to start a women's Bible study, or I want to help with any kind of capacity of teaching or small group. There are people here in this congregation that does that. And those who exhort, one of my joyful gifts that I love doing is exhorting and encouraging people. And the way that I've been defining encouragement lately is I love lending courage to others to continue on in a day and time like this. Encouragement. And those who are given much financially, You have the gift of generously giving and leading, acts of mercy. These gifts that God's given Sojourn North, and again, it's, I think, a season of discovering that. And so I know an email is coming out this coming week in terms of a servant survey. And so fill that out so we kind of get an idea of how to align ourselves, how to be encouraged, and also how to practice and step into what God has called us. And so humility, curiosity, and what does action look like? And so to even just pause to say, God, I don't know exactly what the church needs, which I'm thankful for how people are approaching the pastors here. But hopefully this survey will kind of give us an idea of how to make space for some of the service, but there's still a lot. And again, I want to say I appreciate everyone's patience, speaking in behalf of all the elders, of this slow process. But even in this slow time, maybe a time where God invites you to pray. Pray that God would grant you the humility, but also the curiosity, but also what small steps to build the body up here and being the servant of God that God has called you. And so there's no better meal that really gets at this idea of servanthood than on the night that Jesus was betrayed. One of the lasting images that Jesus gives us is a meal. And then even before the meal came in John chapter 13 of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. If there's any more beautiful picture of serving his disciples, but also as a picture of his death serving us, his resurrection serving us, is what Jesus did for us. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, and the cup, which symbolizes the new covenant of his blood, symbolizing that we are this new humanity bought by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we would collectively move forward, move his kingdom forward in this world today. And so as we have done it here at Sojourn North, we peel back the first layer, which is the wafer, and then we have here in the front is the gluten-free wafer if you're gluten-free. And then the second layer is the cup. And so what we do is you come forward, but we'll take this meal together. I'll come back up. But may this be an act of saying, God, here's my life. Here am I. I want to serve you as you have given your life for us. So pray with me as we take this time to observe the table.